problems are prayer problems. And truly, I believe that Satan, in his spiritual warfare, wants to keep you from having on the armor of God, because you put on the armor of God, it says in Ephesians 6, with all prayer. And it's Satan's business to hinder. And listen to me tonight. I want everybody paying attention, because now is the preaching time. Amen? Satan's business is to hinder you from prayer, because he fears it. But so much of our prayer, I believe, is playing patty cake, and it's not really impactful. It's not really getting through. And I want to challenge you tonight with that. Is your prayer life just ritual and routine? Is it rote religion? Or is it reality of really making an impact? Not only on your own life, not only your own family, but on those around you. And tonight I want to preach a message about what the Bible says about the subject, and here's the message: how you can have an impactful prayer life. I don't know about you, but I want to have an impactful prayer life. I don't want to just go through the motions of it. And I have three things tonight I want to run by you for how you can have an impactful prayer life. You know, the deacons in a church were raised up. They were raised up originally in the Jerusalem church so that the preachers could have a more impactful prayer life. That they could give themselves, it says, now listen, the preachers, the pastors, pastoral staff, they could give themselves to prayer and the ministry of the word. The early church was a soul winning church, but before that, they were a praying church. The upper room, I joke about it, I say the early church was in the upper room agonizing in prayer. The 21st century church is in the supper room organizing. And hey, I'm not downing the supper room. I'm not downing hospitality. But I'm saying the spiritual leadership of the church, that there should be their focus. And you should have an impactful prayer life yourself, and God wants to raise that up in our church. And so tonight the message is for you, how you can have an impactful prayer life. And I want to start off the first point by your praying pointedly. Number one, by your praying pointedly. Do you get the point? It says in James 5:16, the second half, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. In other words, the prayer is effectual and fervent, and it availeth much. So when you're praying effectually and fervently for something, you are praying pointedly. And the word effectual actually has to do with producing a specific effect. Do your prayers produce a specific effect? When's the last time you had an answered prayer? You know when mine is this afternoon. I know I prayed pointedly for something, and God gave it to me. It was effectual. It had an effect. And it was that my mother would get here. No, I'm just kidding you. I'm just teasing you. But it was something I prayed for, and God gave it to me. And I think that's wonderful. Sometimes people get together and they talk and they look at one another and they realize we're not having answers to prayer. I like Diane Payone. She's not here tonight, so I'll brag on her. She has answers to prayer all the time. If you don't, you're missing out. If you don't, you're not fulfilling this verse. You don't have the effectual and fervent prayer of a righteous man. Now, we're righteous in Christ, and we need to live out that. Yes, that's important. But I'm just saying, does your prayer produce an effect? I was out of college one time for a semester, and I lived at the house of a widow lady, and there were some other college students that were living there too, and it was the house of Emily Perry. I told the school I'm not going to re-enroll until I pay off my debt that I now owe because I'm not going to go into debt. I'm not going to go to the bank and borrow for a college tuition. So I went there and I worked at Haddon Craftsman down here, and I lived in Clark Summit. I got a ride from a guy called John Airy, and he used to ride me in his Volkswagen. And while I was there at Emily Perry's house, she was a believer, widow, we were able to go down to the library in the house and look at books and stuff. She had books there, good Christian books, Vance Havner, and I saw a book by John R. Rice. I picked it up and read it. You know what it was? Prayer, asking and receiving. And all he did was just share answers to prayer, answers to prayer, answers to prayer. And he said, if you're not able to get things from God, you're a failure at prayer. You see, God wants you to pray how? Pointedly. You need to bring a point and turn the point. That's why Trump's in there. We turn the point. That's why I believe fraud's going to come out and judgment's going to come, because we turn the point. We're praying for revival. I believe that's why it's going to come, because we keep turning the point. But is it effectually to the point, and are you praying fervently for it? See, a lot of people play, oh, just pray. They don't care whether God gives it to them or not. They don't. They're just praying to the roof. Ah, it's all right. I don't care. You know, Charles G. Finney, the evangelist, and the cat, but not the cat. I'm preaching on the evangelist. Charles G. Finney, the great revivalist, he said before he got saved, he went to this church. And he said, the guys were praying, and he said, they never got anything from God. Never. Stuff they prayed for, and they didn't care, he said. You know what that tells me? They're just going through a ritual routine. I'm preaching tonight on how your prayer life can be more impactful, and that means that you pray a specific point, and then you fervently ask for it, and you're able to effect a change of God coming through. We've got some trials in our life. You know what makes you pray fervently? When you have troubles. That's why you can count it all joy. God wants you, when you have troubles, you know what we usually do when we have troubles? We blame somebody, you know. Usually a pastor. Somebody. Poor me. Let's get to God. Lay hold of Him. He wants you in the problems to take it to Him. And what the disciples do when they had a problem with fish and two loaves, what did they do? They tried to go and buy the fish, you know. They said, we don't have the money. Jesus said, I'll make it. I'll do it. Hey, He said, I'm Jehovah. The Elohim of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? See, we don't go to God, though. And so He lets the problems come into our life. We think, oh, I just got another nasty problem. And He's trying to get you to pray pointedly. He's trying to get you to ask and receive and to get something from Him. He wants you. It says, ask and receive. Why? That your joy may be full. God wants you to have the joy of getting something from God. That's why Jesus said, if you have a problem, go into your closet and pray in secret. And your Father, which seeth in secret, will reward you what? Openly. Openly. See, do you have an impactful prayer life? Do you pray in secret and you get things from God? Man, what a blessing that is. And are you making an impact for God? I want to give you a supposition tonight. I believe the American 21st century and the 20th century, for the most part, churches are not impactful. Why are they not impactful? Because they do not know how to pray pointedly and to get things from Almighty God. And we're not seeing the impact, but tonight If you want to see revival, it's going to have to start with your prayer life becoming more impactful or effectual, getting an effect. You know, James 5, 17 and 18 talk about a man who had that. Look at 17 and 18. It says, Elias or Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. He was just like us. He was a sinner saved by grace. And he prayed earnestly. Notice that? Earnestly. He had to have it that it might not rain. Now, why did he pray it might not rain? Because there was judgment. You know what? I pray judgment down on things. I pray judgment down on things. And you know what? I've seen it happen. And Elijah prayed that it wouldn't rain so that Israel would drop their Baal worship and get right with God. And we need some people like that. And that's why we're praying the judgment of God down upon the systems of evil in our nation. And Elijah prayed that earnestly. And guess what? God said, okay, you're praying with, to the point. And you're turning the point by praying effectually and fervently or earnestly. And it didn't rain. Do you know for how long? I believe it was 3.5 years. Did not rain. Did not rain. Man, that affected that place. But notice the next verse there. It said in verse 18, he prayed again. And the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth their fruit. You remember that at Mount Carmel. We went up to Mount Carmel when I was in Israel. And he prayed. There was a little cloud coming off the Mediterranean. He prayed. It got bigger and bigger. Filled the whole sky, and it rained. I remember in Men's Revival Seekers prayer meeting, we heard about last Sunday the storm coming, and everybody's watching their internet, and we just prayed, God, keep it back so it doesn't bother us Sunday morning. Keep it back so it doesn't stop. And it didn't. It didn't. I'm just saying, are you praying impactfully? Then you're getting things specific from God. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elijah got that. When Elijah called fire from heaven, did he get it? Yeah. Wasn't a long prayer. It was pointed, and God gave it to him. The prophets of Baal, they jumped up and down on the altar. They prayed. They cut themselves. They wanted to impress Baal, and he mocked them all the time. You know what? It's time we can mock false religions and show them the Baptist church has power. Power. But it's not going to happen unless you have a more impactful prayer life. And you're not going to have a more impactful prayer life till you start getting specific answers to prayer. Like Elijah, George Mueller, the great man of faith in the 1800s over in England, he wanted to start an orphanage. But his main reason for starting an orphanage was not just to care for orphans, so that's a good thing to do. Orphans and widows you take care of. By the way, that wicked Candace Owens, I'm praying God will curse her fig tree. You say, why are you angry? Because she's attacking a widow and saying that she and Israel killed Charlie Kirk. That's a lie out of hell. And she's making money on it with people that are under the influence of the devil. I call it out tonight. Because if you don't call it out, you're a coward. And by the grace of God, I'm no coward. And I want to just say tonight that we need to take care of orphans and we need to take care of widows. And that lady is a widow. And to analyze every move, every tear, everything, oh, it angers me. Pray for her. I believe God's got a plan for her, that woman. He's going to use her somehow. But I'm just saying to you that George Mueller prayed and he saw many, many answers to prayer. millions and millions of dollars he prayed in without asking one person for a penny. That was just his calling. I'm not saying it's wrong to fundraise. I'd do it, but he did, and he got answers to prayer. Then there was evangelist Tom Williams, the same way, testimony after testimony. He had of wonderful answers to prayer. He was led of God not to have any insurance. Don't you try that. But he did it, and he was just led of God to do it. Unless God leads you, definitely. And he did it. He went into the hospital. His wife got bad spinal meningitis in Israel while they were visiting Israel. And the hospital bill came to hundreds of thousands of dollars. And every time a bill came due, they would come to him and say, "Now, your wife, Pam, her name was Pam. I met her. She had lovely long hair down to her back. He and her, when I was in Bible college, they came and preached there. But they said now to Tom, "Hey, your bill is up. Now you owe 25 grand. How are you going to pay it?" He said, "Oh, my dad will pay it." "Your dad?" And he said, "Yeah, he actually owns this hospital." Wow. He'd just go to prayer. That day, the money would come. Somebody would give him 25 grand. He didn't even ask for it. He asked God for it. That went on till the whole hospital was paid. It's amazing. I met Tom Williams. I knew him. He knew me. It was amazing the kind of answers he had. I'm just saying that God wants you to pray effectual, fervent prayers. And it says that when you pray pointedly, it availeth much. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. In other words, it brings a great deal of impact. And we lack Christians that have impact. I'm just saying that our first pastor, Charlie Ware, he was praying and he had impact. But the devil then started to attack him and made him feel like he was wasting time by just praying alone. Like, "Oh, you need to be doing something." That's a lie of the devil. Jack Hiles, great man of God, built the world's largest Sunday school. He said he laid aside 20 hours a week of prime time just to pray. Just to pray. It makes an impact. You see, the problem with the 21st century, especially Gen Z, is they live on this thing. I watch them all the time, Gen Z. They're the worst generation for living on this thing. And it distracts you from prayer. You don't spend the time with God. You're not going to make the impact. You'll never have holiness in a hurry. You've got to spend time with God. And so I'm thinking of some people in the past. Let's go back to the 18th century, the 17th century. Let's go back to David Brainerd. He was called a young man called to preach out here in the Delaware Water Gap to the American Indians. He didn't even speak their language. He got tuberculosis or something. He was consumption. He was bleeding blood out of his body, riding on a horse, living to reach it. And he had an American Indian interpreter, so when he spoke, the guy would interpret. But you know what Brainerd also had? An impactful, pointed, fervent prayer life for God to break through to these Indians. And a lot of times his interpreter was drunk. He was drinking the fire water. But behind that was David Brainerd, and he had impact with God. That's what we lack today. Say, what happened? The power of God smote those Indians. They got under conviction. They got converted to Christ, and their lives were changed. It was David Brainerd with praying with great impact. Do you have a prayer life, listen to me, that availeth much? So much could be done. You say, why can so much be done? Because you're getting a hold of God. And when you get a hold of God, he can do way more than you can do. Way more than I can do. It availeth much. It has a great impact. I mentioned before, Praying John Hyde. He was a missionary to India. He ministered in the Punjab area of India and Pakistan from 1892 to 1912. And this guy, listen to me, this is crazy. You talk about prayer. Do you know how many days he spent in prayer? How many hours a day he spent just praying because he believed in the power of prayer? Do you know how many hours? They called one of the disciples old camel knees, one of the apostles. Matt, you have it right. How many hours did he spend every day?
Eight, sir.
8 hours a day in prayer. See, this is before cell phones, amen? But he got a hold of God. He just didn't get a hold of Google. He got a hold of God. And what happened? Well, you get on Google. Go ahead, get on some ChatGPT, Google. You'll hear about this man. Who was he? He couldn't speak well. Who was he? He prayed with impact. He had effectual, fervent prayer. He was a righteous man, and he took it to God. And he had impact because he wanted to make an impact in India. How about you? Do you want to make an impact? You'll get it by working hard, but you won't get it without praying first hard. And Hyde did intense intercessory prayer, which often involved praying with fasting and sleepless nights to see souls. You can read this on Google. And led to significant spiritual revivals. Aren't we praying for revival? Hey, here's one of the problems of people praying and not seeing revival. They're not praying pointedly, fervently, with impact. Availeth much. Listen, I want to get back there. I want to get back there. I have a stirring of it in my life, and that's why I'm preaching on it. You've heard me say many times, I'll say it again tonight. Another man had great impact, prayed pointedly. He specifically prayed for the Queen of Scotland because she was a Roman Catholic. And the Roman Catholic Church is an apostate church, and they killed Christians through the ages. And this guy was not a Roman Catholic, and he was a Protestant, Presbyterian, and he prayed for Mary Queen of Scots. You know what he prayed for? Anybody know? What did he pray for? Yeah, for her to die. Take her out of this world. Either get saved or get out. And she wasn't getting saved. And you know what her nickname was? Anybody know what her nickname was? Do you know it?
Bloody Mary.
Bloody Mary. Now, that's a drink right now. Bloody Mary. Drink right out of hell. But Bloody Mary was named that because she killed so many people. Like Bloody Hillary. I mean, it's like, you know, it's bad. I'm just saying to you tonight, he had power. His wife said, come to bed, you're praying. He prayed all night. And what was he praying pointedly for? That Bloody Mary would die. And she said herself, I fear the prayers of John Knox more than all the marching armies of England. Well, she had good reason to, because she died that night, that morning, after he prayed all night. How about you? Can you turn the point in prayer? We got this building in prayer. It's now more. It was prayer. More things I say to you tonight than this world has dreamed of have been accomplished through pointed prayer, impactful prayer, effective prayer with fervency. But so many Christians just, I'm going through my, now I lay me down to sleep and pray the Lord my soul to keep. The word fervent is defined as to be hot, to boil, to glow, to swell with heat. Webster 1828 Dictionary. How do you think Jack Hiles got what he got? He was down in Italy, Texas. I went down there with him. prayed on his father's grave with him, took a picture with him. We sang, "Send the Old Time Power," Jack Hiles and I and some preachers, "the Pentecostal Power." Jack Hiles was baptized with the Holy Ghost right there. After praying, hungering, fasting, after his father died, you got a hold of God. We need to get a hold of God right now with our problems. Your problems are for you to get a hold of God. How can you have an effective, impactful prayer life? You can have it, and I meant to say impactful. I don't know how effective got back in my notes. By your praying pointedly. But number two, by your praying powerfully. Here's what the Bible says, that you need to pray powerfully. And that comes from the Holy Spirit. It says, "And ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you." You see, the Holy Spirit must empower your soul winning. I got to give the gospel to a lady today, lives in Georgia, and she prayed to receive Christ. And I sensed the power of the Holy Spirit helping me to explain it to this girl named, I believe her name was Mary Wilson, lives down in Toccoa, Georgia. Pray for her. But not only do we need power to witness, but you need power to have prayer and supplication to God so that you can have an impact in your prayer. And you say, how can I have that? Jude 20 tells you how. He says in Jude 20, praying in the Holy Ghost. When's the last time you really prayed in the Holy Ghost? I want to say to you tonight, you cannot pray impactfully and with power unless you're guided by and under the influence, listen to me, of the Holy Ghost when you pray. Do you think the Holy Ghost prayers are fervent? Do you think they're effective? Yes, they are. That's why Mueller said, before I even started praying for things, I would yield myself to the Holy Spirit and ask Him to lead me to do and say what God wanted. And I would then look into the Word of God, and He would give me promises to claim and desires, and I would take them. That's why it says, first of all, delight thyself also in the Lord, and He'll give thee desires of thy heart. It says, you have not because you ask not. Why? Because you ask amiss. You want to consume it on your own lusts. So what do you have to do? You have to pray in the Holy Ghost. And what does that mean? You delight yourself so much in Jesus, and you are surrendered to Jesus and to His will. Listen to me tonight. That you have the desires of your heart granted. And why can God then grant the desires of your heart? Why can He grant them?
Because we're His, and He's... gives good gifts to His children.
Yeah, we're His, and He so possesses you that He changes your desires so you want what He wants. Some of you don't want what He wants because you're not yielded to Him. So you're not going to get it. You have not because you ask not. You ask amiss because you want to consume it on your own lust. He's not interested in that. He wants you to pray in Jesus' name. He wants you to pray like Jesus. That means you need to abide in Him. That means you need to walk with Him. That means you need to commune with Him. To pray powerfully, you got to have the Holy Spirit. You got to pray in the Holy Spirit. And you can't do that without being under the influence. How many have seen somebody under the influence of alcohol? Yeah. How many of you have seen somebody under the influence of the Holy Spirit? That's what you want. That means stop grieving the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives within you. When you look in the mirror, you need to remember He's in you. He hears everything you say. He knows everything you think. He's with you all day long. And you are grieving Him by things. I realized even today I grieved Him in one thing, and that was, I should have spent more time in prayer. Maybe spent an hour. And then extra time, but should have had more time today. He convicted me of that. And how do you stop grieving the Holy Spirit? You admit your sin to God, whether it's an omission sin or a commission sin. God forbid that I should sin in ceasing to pray for you. And you need to confess that, name it. And he says, then the blood will cleanse you. John, 1 John. And then you stop quenching the Holy Spirit and throwing cold water when he leads you to do what he wants you to do. And you walk close to Jesus and you'll start praying differently. They'll be your desires. See, a lot of Christians are just self-centered brats. Everything revolves around them. Not John Hyde, not George Mueller, not Tom Williams, not Jack Hiles, not Jesus Christ, our Savior. And so you can pray powerfully when you learn to pray in the Holy Ghost. And that's what I'm talking about. Secondly, you can pray powerfully when you pray with, are you ready, American Christian? I might even go over tonight for this. Pray with what? Fasting. I remember Patty tried to get her parents to come to church, and I preached on gluttony that night. It's the great sin of the American Christian. Not just gluttony for food, gluttony for social media. Some of you need to fast from video games and pray. I'm talking about special times of prayer and fasting. The Lord Jesus says to you, when it comes to powerful satanic forces, you will not be able to conquer them even if you pray, unless you couple it with fasting. Did you hear me? What is fasting? Just not eating food, drinking water mainly is the fasting that we see mainly in the Bible. Bible says in Matthew 17:21, howbeit this kind, speaking of a demonic spirit, goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. David, the great man of God, who had much answered prayer, Psalm 35:13 says, I humbled myself with fasting. Boy, do Americans need to humble themselves with fasting. You know, the Bible says, your God is your belly. Your glory is your shame. I used to have a guy, he would talk to me all the time about Billy Sunday, Billy Sunday, Billy Sunday. But I never saw him walk and talk anything like Billy Sunday. And I started calling him Belly Sunday, you know. But you know, that is what David learned. He said, and not only humble myself, but he said in Psalm 69:10, and chasten my soul with fasting. Again, David testifies in Psalm 109:24, my knees are weak through fasting. Now, Daniel the prophet put it this way. He said, I ate not pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine, that's grape juice, in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all, till, guess what, 3 whole weeks had passed. He fasted, Daniel, for 21 days. 21 days. Now, remember, Elijah was a man just like we are. But he did that. Every time Daniel fasted, every time these men fasted and sought God, something happened. And the Lord visited Daniel and he gave him a great prophecy after he did that 21 days of fasting. And Moses fasted 40 days and he got the law of God and his face shone. Jack Hiles prayed and fasted and he got the power of the Holy Spirit. You say, well, those are just special men. The Lord Jesus fasted 40 days. Yeah, but he was special. Yeah, but I met a pastor at pastor's school, and he preached at pastor's school. He was from California, the home of strangeness. But he fasted 40 days himself. I've never fasted that long. Close to 21. Could it be that your lack of times of prayer and times of fasting, along with praying, is why you don't have a more, listen to me, impactful prayer life? Because you really are not doing business for God. You say, well, it's not my business. I'm not a pastor like you. But you're a priest, aren't you? Every believer is a priest. God wants you to have an impactful prayer life. And so I'm just saying that the Apostle Paul expected church couples to have times of fasting and prayer. My wife have had these times. He says in 1 Corinthians 7:5, defraud ye not one another. That means don't rob one another of the physical intimacy act in marriage. It's a blessing. Celebrate it. Defraud ye. Don't rob your partner of that. If you rob your partner of that, you're a crook. If they need that and want that, you give it to them. Don't have a headache. But it goes on to say, notice this, except it be with consent, mutual consent, for a time that ye, that's both of you, may give yourselves to what?
Prayer and fasting.
Fasting and prayer. It puts fasting first. Fasting and prayer. Paul expected it. See, I have believers tell me today, that's strange, you fast. They don't like it when I fast. Not my wife, but certain believers. They say, that's strange. Why are you doing that? I say, why are you eating all the time? Why are you fasting? Well, didn't Jesus himself say that when people accused him of feasting and not fasting, he said, well, why fast when we're at the wedding? The bridegroom is here. I'm here. The bride is here with me. Why fast? He said, but I'm going to go up there. I'm going to leave. And then my disciples, the bride, will fast. So, last I checked out, that's right now. We're living in that time right now. You and I. And so, if you want to have an impactful prayer life, you got to pray pointedly and get things. You got to pray powerfully with impact by the Holy Spirit and by prayer and fasting. And thirdly, by your praying perseveringly, Luke 18 and verse number 1. Now, you say, Pastor, why did you save perseverance till last? Because a lot of people pray and just pray and pray, and they think they're praying perseveringly, but they're not doing it pointedly. They're not doing it in a powerful way. I'm talking about perseverance works if you do the first two first. And if you do them, then yes, you may have to do it for a while. Daniel, you know, when he fasted, and the first day he prayed out of those 21 days, what did God do? He dispatched the angel of the Lord to help Daniel and to answer him and to tell him he was loved of God. But why did it take 21 days to get there, Brother Matt?
The prince of Persia withstood Michael the archangel.
Yeah, the prince of Persia withstood the angel of the Lord that came. Michael then helped the angel of the Lord. But I'm saying to you, who is the prince of Persia? Prince of Iran. You think he's still active over there? You think you need to pray to help the president? He needs to attack. Yes, he does. Yesterday. Or whatever. I'm not going to give the time. I don't know. But he needs to attack. He's the man. Pray for him. I'll leave it up to him. Pray for him. He knows a lot more than I do about it. But I do know to pray for him. And I'm just saying that the Prince of Persia, it took 21 days. That's where perseverance come in. Yes, I am praying pointedly, fervently. I am praying powerfully with the Holy Spirit. Now, why am I not getting an answer? Persevere, as we learned to do with Trump when they defrauded the election. And by the way, I'm praying for Mike Lindell to be governor of Minnesota and praying against us. Listen, this country was different in its politics. You have Ilhan Omar there screaming and Rashida Tlaib screaming as the president. You ought to be ashamed of yourself, he said. And Christians ought to be ashamed of themselves. We can't pray those Islamists out of the Congress. We have more power. God's fixing to knock Islam in the nose, Shia Islam, right now in the Middle East. Then after that, the Sunnis are going to get stirred up because they're inspired of Satan. Syria's going to get hit. Lebanon and all the pincers, Gaza and all these countries, they're going to come against Israel. And Israel's going to win, but they're going to take a hit. It's not going to be easy. We need to be praying powerfully, but perseveringly. That means keep praying. And he talks about a widow. Jesus talked about a widow. That widow, listen to me, she had a judge, and he was a judge that took bribes, and all he cared about was money. You know there are judges like that, amen? Roberts, the Supreme, you know, guys like that. Sellouts, strip them out. I pray them out. But anyway, I'm just saying that you need to pray pointedly, powerfully, and stick with it. And this widow, this judge didn't care about her. She had no money. She was a widow. She had no power. She had no influence. What did he care about her? She realized that. So what'd she do? When he got up in the morning, she'd be knocking on his door. He's trying to take his bath to get to work. Oh, I'm right there. He'd go to work, she was there at work. When he wanted to have lunch break, she was there waiting outside his office. Then when he wanted to come home at night, there she went. Hey, please, Mr. Jeff. This went on for days, weeks, months. He said, the woman has no money, she has no influence, but she's driving me mad. I just got to get rid of her. See, the Lord's trying to make a point. He wants you to persevere. Shameless begging is what it's called. Importunity, shameless begging. I watched a movie. My wife watched it. It was supposed to be a historical account. And I loved General Douglas MacArthur. And I was getting mad at MacArthur because supposedly an order went out from him for the soldiers to kill the World War I veterans. And then another order went out from him to the soldiers to kill a bunch of horses because he wanted to go to tanks, you know, which I can understand that. He probably did for World War II, but they just shot all these horses and dumped them in a pit. They're beautiful horses from the cavalry. And some of the officers said, wait a minute. You don't shoot soldiers when they've served in battle. We're cavalrymen. Don't shoot them. And, oh, they just shot them all. And they had like groups of hundreds. They had 500 horses to be shot. And they shot 100 and then dumped them in this pit. And they were going to take the next 100. And the lieutenant that was to bring the horses, he said, it ain't happening, Jack. He didn't say it that way, you know, sir, it's not happening. And he got some men to go with him, a sergeant, some other men, and they took those 400 horses and they ran and the army went after them. A lot of this is fictional, I think. The army went after them. They went all the way to the Sioux country. They were going to give the horses to the Sioux, and the army went. One of their guys got shot. The army shot him right through the back as he was spying on them, scouting for the men that took the horses. And then they took the horses all the way up to Canada. There were mounted police there, and they made a run for it. And the commanding officer, you know, gave the order to shoot them with these big howitzers and these big. And the guys just made a run for, and they're running right at the mounted police at the Canadian border. And boom, these shells are going, boom, and the horses are running. And you could see the guy that was shooting the shells, he was for them, and he wouldn't hit them. He was and they got across the border, and President Roosevelt supposedly pardoned them. They got a pardon. They didn't know about it. At the last minute, he pardoned them because the commander of the army wasn't doing it, so he pardoned them, and they got across the border, and they were saved. But here's my point. A lady who was in the press, her father was a retired military guy, and he went to the commander of the army and he asked the commander to please pardon these guys, and he wouldn't do it. So he went to the president. Now, when he was going to the commander of the army, do you know how much time he spent? 2 weeks, night and day, at his office saying, and they said, he won't see you, and he just kept coming back. And finally he saw him. And I'm just saying to you tonight that that's what the Lord is telling you you need to do. You need to pray with pointed, specific prayers. You need to pray with the Holy Spirit in power and put it with fasting, and he can see you mean business. And then persevere until you get it. Do you have a real impactful prayer life, or are you like what Finney said? I went to that church and they weren't getting many answers to prayer. May God help you tonight to determine to have that. Let's bow for prayer. We're talking about, do you have an impactful prayer life? And tonight, I